another Saturday night hanging out with Dave's Record Collection. WMUC FM College Park, that's 90.5 FM. Roy Rogers in the background with What the Funk from the album Pleasure and Pain going back to 1998. Listening to WMUC FM radio here straight out of College Park. I'm Jack Wynn. I'm here hosting Winning Time. It's, you know, one of your favorite weekly sports talk shows here in the DMV area. So we have got a big show for you. It's going to be pretty football heavy. There's a lot going on as we get here late in the season. So we're going to jump right into it after we play a quick PSA. Or actually, we'll get to those a little later. We're going to just start with last night's game. It was a good one, and I got to say, I was a little surprised that it was as close as it was, and especially that the Falcons ended up winning. But, you know, 29-28, Atlanta comes out on top. And here's the thing. I've been bitten by the bug twice now. And what I mean by that is there are two teams in the league that I just cannot seem to get away from, no matter what all the logic tells me. The Chiefs and Tampa Bay. Because I was sure the Bucs were going to win this game. And as the season has gone on, Tampa has just continued to fall off. So, I find myself in a difficult spot. Because I've picked Tampa to make the playoffs. I pick them to win almost every week. And they're just simply not looking like a good team right now. So, last night specifically, that's the kind of game that Baker Mayfield's supposed to pull you out of. And instead, they lost their fifth game out of six. Five out of their last six, Tampa's lost. This is a team that started looking like a Super Bowl contender. Baker Mayfield was an MVP candidate. He was looking amazing and playing great without his top receivers, without his running back. The team was banged up, but they were still winning. Now things are starting to come off the wagon a bit. You would think that as Tampa's season has gone on, and they're getting healthier, Mike Evans is back, Chris Godwin is back, Bucky Irving is back, they're getting some key defenders back in the next few weeks. You would think that Tampa would be picking up right now, and winning games like Thursday night against the middling Atlanta Falcons. And instead, they find themselves in a battle late in the fourth quarter and choking the game away in the final seconds. This was a big loss. Tampa no longer controls their own destiny to win the NFC South. Carolina, no longer right on their tail, now leading that division. And the Panthers, they're a fun team, but Tampa's supposed to be a true contender. And losing a game like this in the midst of this kind of disastrous stretch that they find themselves in, just a really bad loss, and one that may come back to haunt them at the end of the season if this division is decided within a game. Now, Tampa, I think, is going to be okay. I'm still picking them to win this division and make the playoffs, because as I mentioned at the top of the show, I've been bitten by the bug. I'm going to continue to pick them. I'm going to continue to believe in this team, because they have shown it year after year that they deserve to be, you know, in the hunt with the rest of these playoff teams. Not to mention, we get two matchups in the next month between Tampa and the Panthers. So that's really when the division's going to be decided. These two teams are going to be within a game of each other when that happens. And whatever the outcome is of that season series is probably going to determine who wins this division. So we'll see what happens. I still think Tampa's going to come through. But man, Carolina controls their own destiny right now. They're leading that thing. I would love to see Bryce Young in the playoffs. But before we move on, we have to talk about the flip side of that game. Because this was a good win for Atlanta. Kirk Cousins had the best game he's had since, I think, his Minnesota days. 370 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Delivering the ball to his playmakers, Kyle Pitts had, I think, the greatest game of his NFL career pretty handily. Multiple touchdowns. He was making big plays. He was open, seemingly, every single time Cousins dropped back. Not to mention Bijan Robinson had yet another superstar performance, over 170 scrimmage yards, a touchdown on top of that. They gave him 25-plus touches again. Bijan is one of the best, not just running backs in the league, best offensive players in the league. And if Atlanta can start to build this team out, get a quarterback that can actually run an NFL offense, that's a team that's going to be dangerous. We've been talking about it the last few years. They thought it was going to be Desmond Ridder for a minute. It obviously wasn't. They thought it could be Kirk Cousins when they signed him to that long contract. It obviously wasn't. They thought it could be Michael Penix when they traded up for him in the draft. The jury's still out on him. We'll see what happens over the next few seasons, if they retain him, if they try to make a move. He's been banged up. He's obviously hurt right now. He hasn't looked like the guy in Atlanta, but we'll see what they decide to do this offseason. The Falcons have a good defense. They have good playmakers. When Drake London comes back, that's a good receiving core. The Falcons could be a quarterback away. They have a lot to decide on this offseason. Raheem Morris is going to be on the hot seat sooner than people may expect. And we'll see how their offseason plays out. I think it's going to be one to watch. Okay, we've got a lot of games to talk about for this upcoming week. Going to be one of the greatest football Sundays that we've ever had. Definitely one of the best ones this season. We'll get to all that in a moment. But before we do, I want to recap what we saw last week. Because last week was also entertaining. A lot of great teams playing. Exciting finishes. Huge playoff implications. So we're going to quickly recap some of the key moments and key games from last week. Starting on Monday night, we're going to work in reverse order. The Eagles falling in overtime to the Chargers, 22-19. This was an ugly one. I mean, this game was really rough to watch. It was exciting because it came down to the final moments, went to overtime, great finish. But in terms of just football and quality of play, it was very sloppy. It was just one of those games that it seems like a team just had to thug out. Someone had to win that game, and the Chargers ended up pulling through. This loss is a bad one for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts had 5 turnovers, including 2 on the same play, when he threw an interception, recovered a fumble, and then fumbled it again, which is one of the most ridiculous plays that I've ever seen in my life. But that performance was a disastrous one. Combine that with losing 3 in a row now, and the Eagles seem to be in a bit of a free fall. So, how concerning is this stretch for Philly? Well, it's shades of 2023. And if you were to think about a team, an Eagles team, that was coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, started the season very strong, winning games that they probably shouldn't be winning, looking like a team that can just pull through, but, you know, there seem to be structural problems, but they're winning anyway, and then start a season collapse when the locker room starts to blow up. You could be talking about 2023, or you could be talking about this iteration of the Eagles right now. For whatever reason, the Eagles seem to be falling a bit apart. And my theory is it relates to coaching. The Eagles' leadership is one of the most interesting situations to analyze, I think, in the NFL. Because it's so odd for a team to go from Super Bowl appearance to full-on collapse to winning the Super Bowl to being on the precipice of yet another full-on collapse. And when the Eagles are on, and the locker room is vibing and clicking, all we hear is great stuff about Philly's leadership. Jalen Hurts keeps the team on track. He's stoic. He, you know, leads the team into battle. Nick Sirianni, he's kind of a, he's an emotional leader. The team follows him. He sets the tone, sets the culture. If those things are true, then how come we keep seeing these stretches of disaster for Philly? Because right now all we're hearing is Jalen Hurts is falling apart. What does Nick Sirianni really do? Is he actually a great coach? People are questioning him from Hard Knocks. The fact is Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni are good. They're a good coach. They're a good quarterback. They won a Super Bowl last year. That's undisputable. But if we're talking about their leadership, I think that needs to be questioned more than it has been. People call Jalen Hurts one of the best leaders in the league. The best leader in the league doesn't let his locker room fall apart twice in 3 years. Now is when Jalen Hurts should be picking the guys up and motivating them for a playoff run, not trying to just get them to play their hardest. I don't know. I think it's concerning. That was a lot of time on Philly. Let's flip it up and talk positively, because even though it was a rough game, it was a good win for the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers advanced to 9-4, put themselves pretty out of range of the teams trying to catch them in the wild card race. And this game is an interesting dichotomy for the people who have analyzed Justin Herbert. Because a big discrepancy in the media right now is how you value a quarterback and how you rate them. Do you rate them based on their statistics, how they play themselves, or do you rate them on their ability to win games? Because for the majority of Justin Herbert's career, the Chargers weren't very good. They were not contenders, they were missing the playoffs, and when they did get in, they flamed out pretty quickly. But Justin Herbert's stats were unbelievable. He was playing like one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league, and people were calling him a top five, top 10 quarterback. This season and last year, his stats have not been that good, but the Chargers have been winning games. They made the playoffs last year. They're going to make the playoffs again this year. But as I mentioned, Herbert hasn't looked like he has in the past. So what do you say about Justin Herbert? What is the identity of this Chargers team? Is it quarterback oriented? I don't think so. This is a defensive first team that is going to run efficient offense and trust that their quarterback can make big plays. I think that's perfectly fine. I'm not all of a sudden going to ding Justin Herbert because he's not being asked to do the same things, but he's doing things that win games. If that doesn't make sense, think about it this way. I would rather somebody have a crazy process, or I would rather somebody have a boring process but get the job done, than have an entertaining process and not winning. Justin Herbert is proving now, he's already proven that he can play like a superstar statistically and with the eye test. What he's proving now is that he can do the opposite. He can put his head down, do what he needs to do, and win the game. A quarterback that can do both deserves the credit that Herbert's been getting. All right, the next game to recap, Texans beating the Chiefs on Sunday night, 20-10. This was a shocker to me. I was sure. It's the same as Tampa. I said I've been bitten by the bug. I've been bitten by the Chiefs as well. I'm going to keep picking them because it's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and seemingly every week their life is on the line. Well, last week it kind of was. That was a must-win for the Chiefs, and they lost it. And they lost it pretty bad. The offense didn't look good. The Texans' defense, I mean, man. Quick note on the Texans' defense. I saw this statistic that I think is interesting. Of all the teams in the league, the Texans have the lowest blitz rate, and they disguise their coverage the least of any team in the NFL. What that means is every down, the Texans are playing straight-up defense. They're just guarding you. They're not switching things up. They're not trying to trick the quarterback. They're saying, we think we're better than you. We know we can stop you, and we're going to. And they have been this entire season, and they stopped the Chiefs. That fourth quarter drop by Kelce that turned into an interception is kind of an it symbolizes this entire Chiefs year. Because this entire season, what I have personally expected from the Chiefs and what a lot of people have expected from the Chiefs is their team may have issues, but despite that, if it's a close game or if it's a big play, Mahomes is going to come through, Kelce can come through, and Andy Reid is going to have the team ready. And this is clearly not what's happening for the Chiefs so far this year. And that play, Mahomes delivering a pass that was a little high for Kelce that he then dropped into the hands of the defender, not being able to come through in the big spot like they used to, is what has happened this entire year. The Chiefs fall to 6-7, and it seems like this team is structurally broken. That's a term you're going to hear a lot over the next few minutes of this show when I talk about a couple different teams. But the Chiefs structurally do not have the pieces, do not have the team, and are not put together sufficiently enough to win a Super Bowl. They have problems with their depth on the offensive line. They have injuries that are costing them in big spots. And the biggest thing is Mahomes and Kelce are not delivering in the big moments, like I said. The defense has started to fall apart a bit. This is not the Chiefs team that we're used to seeing. This is a team that's going to have to retool and reload this offseason, make a couple moves, restructure this roster, and come back next year as the Chiefs that we expect. For the Texans, as I mentioned, this defense is unreal. They kick teams' butts. Like, seriously. They play press, they play man, they play straight-up basic zone concepts, and they annihilate teams' offenses. Will Anderson quietly having an amazing season. That's secondary. Really good this year. Unbelievable, even. The Texans are dangerous, and the Texans are very live. And as a team that now looks like they're pretty confidently going to make the playoffs, maybe even track down the Jags for the division title, this Texans team is dangerous. I think they can go on a playoff run. I don't think there's a team in the AFC that they can't beat, and I don't think there's a team in the AFC that would prefer to see the Texans in any round of the playoffs. Speaking of tight division races, the Steelers and the Ravens, and this game got off to a hot start for Pittsburgh, and I was like, what could be going on with the Ravens? And I looked at Twitter, and I saw that Lamar Jackson had said before the game that he was thinking about it like a playoff game. And as soon as I saw that, I said, oh, this is going to be a long day for Baltimore. Because for whatever reason, Lamar Jackson struggles in big spots. He struggles in the playoffs, he struggles against the Steelers, and he struggles in big games. Lamar Jackson, in his career, 3-6 versus Pittsburgh. We do not usually see him play at his best against these great teams in the biggest spots. Because this was the game that would put the Ravens ahead in the division. After their disastrous start, the Ravens had really heated up. Then they lose to the Bengals badly, they lose to the Steelers, and now they seem to be back out of it. They're on the outside looking in, trying to work their way back up. I still do believe in Baltimore because I think Lamar Jackson is good enough to get this team into the playoffs when there's just a one-game difference between them and the Steelers. But that was a game that they really needed to win. They've got another tough one versus Cincinnati this week. We'll talk about that game in a minute. But this was a big spot for the Ravens, and I wasn't surprised that they lost it. The Ravens seem to be structurally broken as well. I said we were going to use that term a lot. And you had a couple iterations of the Ravens. You had the first one in 2019 when Lamar was still on his rookie contract. They shocked the world, went 14-2, were the one seed, and then flamed out. 2 seasons ago, they were the one seed again, had one of the greatest rushing attacks this league had ever seen, made the conference championship, and flamed out. This team is getting older. This team is getting more expensive. And as teams go on, and by go on, I mean as the years pass and teams knock on the door over and over again and can't get in, you have to start making a change. And I think that change is going to come in the form of John Harbaugh. I would not be surprised if it's, you know what, I'm going to save that take for a couple minutes because we're going to talk about the Ravens and the Bills and the Bengals. And what I was going to say was I wouldn't be surprised if three of the four best teams in the league from last year find themselves with new head coaches next year. So the Bills had an unbelievable come-from-behind win against Cincinnati this week. 39-44 advanced them to 9-4 and essentially killed the Bengals' chances of making a run at that division. Because the Bengals were 4-8 going into that game. They were only two games behind the Steelers and the Ravens. If they won, they would be right back in that thing. But they couldn't pull through. It was an amazing game. The pick six by the Bills' defender was an unbelievably athletic play there in the fourth quarter. And it appears that the Bengals are also structurally broken. And this is because, and we all knew it, we all saw this coming, maybe even back when Burrow was first drafted. Because what we know about the Bengals is that they're not great with finance or financial management, they're stingy, and they're not a great front office. That's why teams were saying, before Burrow was even drafted, pull an Eli, demand a trade, say you're not going to Cincinnati, and he didn't listen. And he took that team on a remarkable run to the Super Bowl. But since that moment, the defense has started to fall apart. Burrow has suffered now injuries in multiple seasons in a row. And it's going to be three straight years of Joe Burrow missing the playoffs. Not to mention, 45% of this team's cap space is going to three guys, Burrow, Chase, and Higgins, the two receivers. I don't know how this team is going to fill out a roster and build a contender over the next few seasons unless they start to blow things up. And it's a testament again to what poor front office management can do no matter how good the talent is. We saw Matt Stafford in Detroit. We saw Andrew Luck in Indy those years. He had to retire early because he couldn't be protected. When teams do not protect their quarterback, when teams do not sufficiently surround them with talent, that is when you have problems. That is when you close your own window, and it seems like that's what the Bengals are doing. The Bills may have saved their season with that win. They were on the precipice of being at the bottom of the wild card, and now sitting at 9-4, they've got some cushion, and they've got a chance to now play for the division this year. Or this week. We'll talk about them a little more in a minute, but what Josh Allen and the Bills did, coming from behind, winning that close game in spectacular fashion, it's what we're used to seeing from the Bills, and it was huge because we have not gotten a lot of guys not named Josh Allen from Buffalo this year. James Cook is amazing, but the rest of the roster seems to be structurally broken as well. These teams are not great. Once you pay your quarterback superstar money, it's very hard to fill out a roster. The Bills do not have reliable receivers. Their defensive depth is starting to run low, even if they make key plays. But if the Bills are going to contend this season, it's going to once again be on the back of their superhero quarterback, Josh Allen. All right, I said we were going to quickly go through last week. We're almost through the entire A block now, so we're going to just real quick go through Titans-Browns, then we'll take a quick break and come back to preview this upcoming week. But Titans-Browns was an entertaining one, man. I gotta say, I did not expect it to be as high-scoring as it was. I did not expect it to be as exciting as it was, and it was just great. Cam Ward, the stats don't show it, but he was very efficient. He was methodical. He was a game manager. He gave them a big lead. But the real story is Shedeur Sanders, just playing out of his mind. I mean, 360 yards, three touchdowns, another one on the ground, only one interception, brought the Browns within a two-point conversion of tying that game after trailing by 14 in the fourth quarter. So, this was a promising game for both sides here, because the Browns are now encouraged by their quarterback situation, the Titans are encouraged because they finally got a win, and I'm encouraged because as a Giants fan, this really helped our draft pick. But more on the tankathon a bit later. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're previewing this upcoming week in the NFL.
The University of Maryland Farmers Market can be found weekly at Taz Plaza. There are an abundance of producer-only vendors and a cooking demonstration with free samples hosted every week at noon. You can find everything from fresh bread, locally grown produce, popcorn, to lip balm, and local animal products. The market runs every Wednesday, rain or shine, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the spring season from April to May and fall season from August to November.
Are you looking for a club that celebrates friendship? Then Best Buddies might be the one for you. We organize social events for local folks with disabilities to come to campus and hang out. Some of our highlights of the past years have been our holiday parties, a polar bear plunge in the freezing Chesapeake Bay, a friendship walk with Best Buddies branches from around the state, and a winter formal with over 80 people. And if you want to learn more information, check out our Instagram at BestBuddiesUMB.
All right, welcome back in. Best Buddies is a great organization. I was part of them. I was part of working with them when I was in high school. Highly recommend starting to build those connections, form relationships with those guys. It's really rewarding for everybody involved. Anyway, let's talk football. We've got a lot more to go through, and we are starting with this upcoming week because, man, as I mentioned, we have got some unbelievable games, high-stakes games, great quarterbacks facing off against each other, playoff implications, the works, and we are going to start with the team that we just discussed, the 9-4 Bills, going on the road to the 11-2 Patriots with the AFC East title in the balance. So, as I mentioned, this game is basically for the division. If the Bills win, they get another leg up on the tiebreaker on New England, and they've got a pretty light schedule the rest of the way. The pressure shifts to the Patriots. However, if New England wins this game, they all but lock it up. They would be sitting at 12-2, a full three games ahead of Buffalo, with just four games remaining. Not to mention, they would have the tiebreaker on the Bills, so the Bills would have to win out, the Patriots would have to lose out. So this game for the Patriots would clinch the division. Not to mention, we might be getting some snow, some real football weather. The game in the upper New England area, going to be cold, and this is going to be, Josh Allen's used to playing in the cold. Drake May hasn't really had to yet in his NFL career, but we can expect him to play pretty well. This game represents a big standing in this league. And it represents two quarterbacks at very different points in their career. Because if you were talking about a quarterback who showed flashes in year one and then in year two made an MVP-like jump, you could be talking about Josh Allen, you could be talking about Drake May. Problem is, we are now 7 years removed from that for Josh Allen. He has gotten on the precipice multiple times only to fall short, and New England is up and coming. Drake May outplayed Josh Allen earlier this season, and if the Patriots sweep the Bills, this is not only a win, it's not only essentially clinching the division, it's making a statement. It's telling the league, the Bills won seven division titles in a row. Now the Patriots are back. It was a brief hiatus after Brady retired, but this New England Patriots organization is once again back to their winning ways. Not only that, it's Drake May announcing to the league that he is in fact a superstar. He is who the league makes him out to be, and he deserves this league's MVP award this season. So here's why the Patriots will win, which is my official pick. I think they're going to win pretty similarly to their last game. I'm going to say 23-20, which I think was the exact score of last time. I think I'm just feeling it's going to be similar again this time. But when James Cook doesn't play his best, the Bills' offense starts to struggle because Josh Allen isn't able to open things up downfield. The box is stacked against him, and he has to work against a very talented New England secondary. The Patriots' run defense is really good, maybe even the best in the league. They're going to do what they can to take James Cook out of the game without committing too many players to it. That means Josh Allen's going to have fewer receivers to look for with more defenders in the secondary, and it's going to be really tough for him to navigate. We've seen Josh Allen make insane plays, come from behind, superhuman abilities before, but this is a game against a great defense. I don't think he's going to be able to have the unreal performance we saw from him last week. I think he's going to be great. I don't think he's going to be the best player on the field. I think that the Patriots are going to come through, win this game. Meanwhile, Drake May, I don't see how you could expect him to play poorly. This Bills defense has shown that it can get got. The Patriots offense is starting to come into its own, especially now that Travion Henderson is starting to prove that he's a legit NFL running back. So I think that Josh Allen and the Bills' run game struggles against New England, which makes things difficult in the pass game, and the Patriots are able to move the ball in the critical spots, make the plays that they need to, and win this game in a close one, 23-20. Next, Chargers go to Kansas City, playing in Arrowhead against the 6-7 Chiefs. This game puts the Chiefs' season officially on the line. If Kansas City loses, they fall to 6-8, their season's officially over. If they win, they still, in theory, have an outside chance to make the playoffs. So expect the Chiefs to be as locked in as they have been all year. The problem is, you could say that about each of the last few games. You could say that about the Texans game. You could say that about the Broncos game. And they lost both of those in close fashion at the end. So why should this game be any different? Well, I don't really expect it to. The Chargers have stakes in this game also, because they need to establish themselves as a contender. They lost both of their star offensive tackles during the season, which means this offensive line is struggling. Putting up a statement win, ending the Chiefs' season, proving that despite the injuries, they're still a team that needs to be taken seriously, that would be big for their momentum, for the locker room, and for the respect they have around the league. Imagine being able to say that in back-to-back weeks, you beat the two teams that made the Super Bowl last season, Eagles, then KC. So here's why I think the Chargers will win. Pretty simple. I don't know why this game should be different for the Chiefs than other games. I think that it's going to be close. I think the Chargers are going to be leading for a lot of the game. I think the Chiefs are going to do their thing to try to keep themselves in it. Mahomes is going to have a couple unbelievable highlights, but the Chargers are solid. Their game plan is sound. Their defense is really good, and their Chiefs are falling apart a bit. So I think the Chargers are going to lead towards the end. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be able to get it done. This is the first time I've ever outright picked against Kansas City, but I have no reason to believe that the Chiefs would win this game. All right, Ravens at Bengals. 6-7 Ravens trying to keep their season alive. This is a huge game for the Ravens. This could be a playoff game for them as well. The Steelers have a big game on Monday night against Miami, who is also 6-7, but for Baltimore, losing puts them really behind the wire here. We need to see Lamar Jackson play like Lamar Jackson. The Ravens got blitzed by the Bengals the last time they played, lost badly. They need to make sure that doesn't happen again. If the Ravens lose three straight to the Bengals, then the Steelers, then the Bengals again. Brutal stretch, by the way, in scheduling. Putting those three AFC North games all in a row, that's really rough, whoever did that to Baltimore. But this is a huge game for the Ravens. You can't lose those three in a row and expect to still try to make a playoff push. Their season's not dead if they lose, because the Steelers are so close to them, but this would certainly be a step in the wrong direction. I'm going to go ahead and pick Baltimore to win, simply because I don't think that they can lose this stretch. I don't think that they can go 0-3 in this stretch. I think Lamar is too good for that. I think they have too much talent for that. And I think they've been close enough to the point where I think if they need a win, they're going to be able to get it. Meanwhile, the Bengals are coming off of a hard loss against the Bills. They're also in the middle of a really tough stretch going Ravens-Bills-Ravens. Another brutal one by the schedule makers. And the Bengals were live last week at 4-8. Now they're not really live at 4-9. They're going to be a little deflated. They're still going to give the Ravens their best shot, but the Ravens are playing for the playoffs. I think Lamar has a great game and the Ravens win. I think it'll be high scoring. I'll take Baltimore 28-27. Packers at Broncos. A battle between two teams who are first in their conference right now, or close to it. I believe the Packers might be the 2 seed. But this is going to be a good one. This is two teams that are built really well, are great structurally, have really solid coaching, and have great defenses. This game is going to be a battle. I think the Broncos are going to win because this game is in Denver. That makes it tough for Green Bay on the road. The Packers' defense is great at times, but they're a little streaky. I think they're due to give up a couple big plays, and I think the Broncos' defense is consistent. Jordan Love has had an unbelievable stretch. I think he's going to regress to the mean a little bit. If Jordan Love continues to play the way he has been, the Packers could be Super Bowl champions. They are absolutely Super Bowl contenders. But if he can't, then they're the same kind of Packers team that we've been seeing the last few years that's on the precipice. This is a big game for him. There's a lot of pressure here on the two quarterbacks, because if the Broncos lose, they all but cede the one seed to the Patriots. If the Packers lose, all of a sudden they're in danger of missing the playoffs. Jordan Love and Bo Nix, two quarterbacks who have gotten limited opportunities, who have shown that they can win games and make the playoffs, but haven't really shown that they can play their best in the biggest spots. Well, this is a big spot. Let's see who plays better. As I mentioned, I'm picking Denver. I think Green Bay is due for a loss. I think that the Broncos are just unstoppable right now. Their defense is an immovable force. And I think that Denver is going to make the big play at the end of the game rather than Green Bay. All right, last, to close off our early slate, the 425 games, Lions at Rams. Once again, a great game. And every time we get this matchup, it's exciting because you've got the battle between the two quarterbacks, Jared Goff and Matt Stafford. They were traded for each other, and it was one of the best trades that we've seen in this league. The Rams got a Super Bowl out of it, and the Lions became seemingly perennial contenders. Now, the Lions season is not locked up. They are still very much fighting to make the playoffs in a deep and loaded NFC conference. The Rams are trying to establish themselves as the one seed. They've got a big game this Thursday against the Seahawks for the division, but for now, they're trying to maintain their status as one of the best teams in the league. Matt Stafford's trying to build an MVP case. The Lions are trying to show that they're still the contender that they have been the last few seasons. I think that the Lions win this game. I still pick the Rams to make the Super Bowl. They were my preseason pick out of the NFC. But I think that this is a game that they lose. I think they're preparing for a short week on the road against Seattle, which is another tough environment. This is an emotional game for Stafford once again. It means so much more for the Lions right now because the Rams' season is not as in the balance as Detroit's is. Detroit is very much in the race with those wildcard teams right now. The NFC North is very deep. The NFC West is very deep. And every game for them means a lot. I think the Lions come out swinging. I think that the Lions always bring their A game against Matt Stafford. And I think this is another one of those games that they come out and pull through. Not to mention they're on a bit of an extended rest, having played Dallas last Thursday, so they've got a bit of a mini bye week. And I think that they win this game in high-scoring fashion, 31-28. All right, we're going to take another quick break here. When we come back, we're previewing the playoffs, determining if each team in the playoff picture is a contender or a pretender. Spoiler alert, most of them are pretenders. But to find out who, you'll have to wait and see right after this.
Just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help. stressed? Need to talk? Call Help Center, a peer counseling and crisis intervention hotline at the University of Maryland. Help Center is here to listen. No issue is too big or too small. We are here for you. Help Center offers anonymous and confidential hotline phone calls and walk-in services, free anonymous pregnancy testing, and free condoms. Call 301-314-HELP or stop by Help Center on the third floor of South Campus Diner today. You are not alone. Won't you please, please help me?
Do you like the outdoors? Join the Maryland Adventure Program. This is a student-powered adventure that promotes personal growth and overall wellness. You can tackle a 50-foot wall through rock climbing or gather a group of friends to experience the challenge course. To get more information, log on to crs.umd.edu/Maryland Adventure Program.
All right, welcome back in. As I mentioned at the top, it's going to be a pretty football-heavy show today. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to WMUC FM radio here in College Park. My name is Jack Wynn. You are listening to Winning Time, one of your favorite weekly sports talk shows in the DMV area. So, right now we are sticking with the NFL, and we are talking about contenders versus pretenders. It's a debate that people have every season. Is this team legit? I know this team's won a lot of games, but are they serious? Well, let's find out. We're going to do it a tiered system by conference, starting with the AFC, your biggest pretenders, the Chargers, the Jags, and the Steelers. These teams are not serious for a multitude of reasons. The Steelers, because their quarterback is 40-something-year-old Aaron Rodgers. He is not built for the playoffs. Even in his prime, he struggled to play well in the biggest moments. I don't expect this offense to be making any noise in the playoffs, especially when Mike Tomlin is coaching, having one of his not his best coaching season, not even close to it. He's on the hot seat now, but I just don't think the Steelers are serious. The Jags, look, as much as I like this team, they win games. They're structurally sound. Their game plans are good. They're well coached. Liam Cohen's done a great job. Trevor Lawrence has been solid this season, but I just don't think this team is consistent enough. I don't trust Trevor enough. And I just don't know which teams in the AFC I would pick the Jags to beat. For that reason, I don't think they're true contenders. And lastly, the Chargers. Now, they had a great win against Philly, but we're going to find out in short order if that says more about the Chargers stepping up as true contenders or if it says more about the Eagles starting to fall apart. I thought it was a good win, but the Chargers, without their starting tackles, it's going to be really hard for them to win playoff games. It's going to be hard for them to win in tough, cold environments. It's going to be difficult for them to run the ball, especially against playoff teams when a lot of them have great pass rushes. I think it's going to get very dark very quickly for LA. I don't think they're contenders. Now, your playoff contenders, I think these two teams can win a playoff game, but I don't think they're true threats to make and win the Super Bowl. That's the Broncos and the Texans. Now, I know the Broncos are the one seed. They've played really well all year. They're well coached. Their defense is unreal. But I don't trust their offense enough to go on a real run. It's the same story with the Texans. They're well coached. Their defense is playing at an unbelievable level. It doesn't seem like teams can move the ball on them, which are great things in the playoffs. That's how you beat a great team, or it's how you beat a playoff team. But if you don't have the offense to go with that, then it's going to be really difficult for you to win enough playoff games to make or win the Super Bowl. I don't trust CJ Stroud enough right now. I definitely don't trust Bo Nix enough right now. And as much as they've shown this regular season, I don't know if I trust Sean Payton or D'Amico Ryans to win in this conference. I think that they can definitely win playoff games. There are only a few teams that I wouldn't pick these guys against, but those are the teams that are the true contenders. And the true contenders in the AFC are the Bills and the Patriots. The Bills are interesting because they're going to be playing from the wild card most likely, and we haven't seen that from them in a while. We don't know what Josh Allen's going to look like when he has to play the game on the road or go through the whole playoffs on the road. However, he's going to be by far the best quarterback in the playoffs. he has the most experience of almost any of these teams, actually definitely any of these teams in the AFC. The Bills have been there before, they've gotten close before, and I don't think any of these teams would feel good about facing Josh Allen in a playoff environment. And the Patriots have just been the best team in the AFC this year. I mean, they're well-rounded, they're great on both sides, their defense is spectacular, their run defense is great, they've got talented players in the secondary, and their offense, although lacking in some playmaking departments, are one of the best offenses in the league. Drake May is playing like the MVP this season. He's making it work with the guys. The Patriots have a multitude of number two wide receivers. It's similar to the Packers. It's similar to the Broncos. Similar to the Ravens and the Chargers and a lot of these other contenders. You can make that work if your quarterback is good enough. The big question mark is Drake May. We haven't seen him in the playoffs before, but I have seen enough from him this season to believe he's going to be great in the playoffs. I don't see reason to believe that he's going to fall off. They have played some pretty bad teams on their schedule, but we've seen him play well in big moments. We've seen him blow out the worst teams in the league, and we've seen him outplay Josh Allen. There's no team that would feel good about playing New England, and I think the Patriots are playing with enough confidence that they feel like they could beat anybody. So those are the contenders in the AFC. Flipping it now to refresh before we go to the NFC, I've got the Bills and Patriots on top, the Broncos and Texans in the middle, and the Chargers, Jags, and Steelers on bottom. Now for the NFC. Starting on bottom again, it's just the Carolina Panthers. Look, some of these teams in the NFC have problems. We'll talk about that in a moment. But Carolina is just simply not hanging with the rest of these guys. I love the Panthers. Believe me, I would cheer for them in every game they played. I've been one of the biggest Bryce Young fans. I then abandoned him a little bit. Now I'm coming back around. I've always cheered for him. He's shown a lot of promise this year. Tet McMillan has been one of the better receivers in the league. This team is inconsistent, but exciting. And they're not really a contender. I don't think anyone expects Carolina to go on a playoff run. But they're fun to watch. They're on the bottom. Next, the teams that I just don't believe in. The Eagles, the Bears, and the Seahawks. Look, I've talked about the Eagles a lot today. They seem to be in free fall. They do. They've lost three in a row. It looks a lot like the 2023 Eagles. They're refusing to fire their offensive coordinator, Kevin Petullo, which means that there's no reason to expect to see any changes in this Eagles offense. It's too late in the season to start really committing to new styles of play, and as long as that's the case, this Eagles team is going to be in a rough spot for a couple reasons. You can say, oh, whatever, maybe the play calling is not great. The Eagles can overcome that, maybe, but what you can't overcome is a locker room that's not unified. And when an offense simply doesn't believe in the coaching and isn't live and isn't ready to play on Sundays, that's a recipe for disaster. That trickles down. When A.J. Brown, Saquon, and Jalen Hurts aren't playing like the best, like some of the best at their position like they have in the past, that trickles down because they're the emotional leaders of the team. The rest of the players follow that. There is a lot more that goes into the NFL than people think, and I believe it was Brady or Belichick that said, you don't even win games on Sundays, you win games in how you prep in the 7 days beforehand. I subscribe to that ideology. Teams that win are teams that are prepared, teams that are built the right way, and teams that have great leadership. I don't believe the Eagles do. For the Bears, I just haven't seen it enough with them. I'm not ready to believe in Caleb Williams in the playoffs. I believe in him in the long term. I think this Bears team has been playing really well, and I think Ben Johnson's an amazing coach. But I have problems with the offense. I don't think their defense is good enough to come through in big spots and get the stops that they need in key moments. They've done a great job in the regular season, but the playoffs is very different, especially when they're going to be playing a great team, and we haven't seen it from this group yet. And I just don't think Caleb's going to be at his best in a playoff game. I think he's got too much inconsistency. It's a big pressure environment. I think we have to see. And for Seattle, it's about their quarterback. I mean, we know the Sam Darnold story. It happened in Minnesota. They were great throughout the regular season, and then he started to melt down towards the end of the year. Unless Sam Darnold turns into somebody that we're not used to seeing from him, plays at the top of his game, and remains an A-level quarterback like he has been this season, that's just objective. He's been one of the better quarterbacks in the league so far. Then Seattle's a contender because they've got a great defense. They've got playmakers. They've got a good offensive line. I just don't believe in the quarterback. And for that reason, they're a pretender. Next, the two teams that are the top contenders to make a playoff run, the Packers and the 49ers. Once again, it's been the story in the NFC for the... Okay. We're going to shift gears for a second. Because the last 5 years have been a tale of two conferences. You have the AFC, which is filled with the superstar quarterbacks. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Burrow, Lamar, CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence, all these guys, so much talent in that conference. And the NFC was always about structure. You know, Minnesota, where they were winning 14 games. Detroit, the Niners, the Seattle. You know, these are teams that are built structurally, and the quarterback fits into their system. So the Packers and the 49ers are great structurally. They've got great defenses, great linemen, a very solid group of playmakers, a star running back. There is not a lot that you can't like about this team. They're very well-rounded, and they can win big games. However, the biggest question, once again, is the quarterback. Jordan Love has so much pressure on him this season because, as I've mentioned, this Packers team is built to contend. Micah Parsons is playing at an A-plus level. If Jordan Love is the guy, if he is going to be worthy of the $55 million contract that they gave him, he needs to prove it this year. The Packers need to win multiple playoff games. I want to see them go on a run. As for the 49ers, the same story is true. We've seen Brock Purdy make a Super Bowl, but we haven't seen it when most of the team has been injured. Christian McCaffrey has been doing an unbelievable carry job for San Francisco. But when the pieces start to come back, when Ayuk gets healthy, now that Kittle's back, when that offensive line and the defense start to shore up, the Niners should be the same Niners team that we've seen from them. I expect them, by the time the playoffs come around, to be healthy and to be playing at a high level. I don't think any team in the conference wants to see them and that defense now that Bobby Saleh's back. And I think I'll take San Francisco to go on a bit of a playoff run. However, it falls on Brock Purdy. He got the contract. He has a lot of pressure. There have been questions about... Mac Jones was really good this year. There are questions, as always, about is the reason that the Niners winning their quarterback... Or is the quarterback just contributing to a greater system? I've always been a system guy. I think Shanahan is just a genius, especially now that he has McCaffrey. This Niners team is unstoppable schematically. But if Brock Purdy is really that guy, they should be a contender. And now for the last year, the true contenders in the NFC, the Los Angeles Rams. Because a lot of the stuff I said about Green Bay and San Francisco is true about Los Angeles. Great defense, really well coached, great playmakers, a very solid offensive line, and a star running back. However, the difference is the Rams have the superstar QB. Matt Stafford has proven time and time again that not only can he play at a high level, but he can play at a high level in big spots. He has proven that he can look like one of the best quarterbacks in the league in the playoffs. He's clutch, he's accurate, he's smart, and he's a great leader. Him and McVay are one of the best combinations in the league. You give them Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, as well as an amazing defense led by Chris Shula, who's one of the best assistant coaches in the league. This Rams team has been unstoppable all year, despite a few hiccups, but I think that they're the biggest contenders in the NFC. All right, we've got about 5 minutes left here in the first hour of our show. Then we're going to take a quick break and come back for the second hour. And we're going to go all the way to the other side of the league. We just talked about the contenders and pretenders in the playoff picture. Now we're headed to Tankathon. So a couple big games here at the bottom of the NFL, starting with the Raiders and the Eagles. Why is this game interesting? The Eagles are, you know, very much in the playoff picture. I have talked quite a bit about this Eagles team falling apart, and I want to put them on upset alert. Because if there's, this is when we find out, are the Eagles truly in a free fall, or did they just have a couple rough games and play a couple good teams? If you at home lose to the Raiders, or it's even close, that's a terrible sign. The reason I have it here in the Tankathon section is because I think the Raiders are capable of winning this game. We found out Geno Smith is out, which means it's going to be a new quarterback. It's going to be a new type of offense. There's not going to be as much tape for the Eagles to look at. Actually, unless it's Kenny Pickett starting. Let's find that out. Okay, never mind. So it's going to be Kenny Pickett. I don't think he's going to be very good, but I think this Eagles offense may struggle. I would love to see a huge Brock Bowers game this week. I think there's a slight chance the Raiders win, not much. They currently hold the second pick and have a lot of agency if they move up to one. But speaking of the team that's currently at one, the New York Giants. They play the Commanders at home this week, and this is huge for draft pick consideration. I think that the Commanders are going to win this. I think the Giants might win this game. It doesn't seem like... I'm a big Giants fan. I have plenty of friends who are Commanders fans. Both of us are cheering for the opposite team this week, because if the Giants get the first overall pick, it would mean wonders for this organization. It all of a sudden opens up so many possible options. Now, the most realistic is a trade with the New York Jets, who currently sit at 7 and desperately need a quarterback. The Jets also happened to make a trade with the Colts where they acquired multiple firsts in return this year in the Sauce Gardner trade. That means they can offer the Giants multiple first-round picks in this year's draft and whatever other assets necessary to move up to number one, to draft Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza and try to hit the reset once again on this organization and this rebuild. This would be great for the Giants, who would still be able to get either a receiver or a key defensive player at 7, and hopefully an offensive lineman or another key player later in the draft. I hope that this plays out. I mentioned I had Commanders fan friends. I also have Jet fan friends, and they said that they'd be happy to make this trade. First overall pick for the 7th pick, the Colts pick this year, and some other draft mumbo jumbo. There's always like a 4th round pick swap involved or something like that. Whatever needs to get done, let's get Jackson Dart the help. Let's build around him. Problem is, the Giants always seem to win games at the end of the season. They play the Commanders, they play the Raiders, they play the Vikings and the Cowboys. They're probably going to end up winning 2 of those games, screwing up their draft pick and missing out on this opportunity. If they remain with the first pick, seems like things could work out, but we'll see. The Giants are going to have one of the most attractive head coaching jobs in the league this offseason. There are reports that they haven't started head coaching searches yet, which makes me suspicious that Joe Shane might be out the door this offseason. However, until then, if you're a head coach and you're looking for a team to join, you've got a quarterback who's got a ton of talent and a ton of promise in Dart. You've got skill position players who are not only talented, but great in the locker room. Malik Nabers, Wandale Robinson, Cam Scadaboo. These are great pieces. You've got your franchise left tackle, Andrew Thomas. You've got 4 first-round picks on the defensive line. You've got a secondary that's developing but has been invested in with youth. Cordell Flott has had a great season. Andrew Phillips. These aren't the guys you want to hear about. Look, Jackson Dart, Cam Scadaboo, Malik Nabers, Wandale Robinson, Burns, Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau. These are the guys that you get to